Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Letford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. This is David Clark back with you again. It's been a little while. It's good to be with you on the air again here sharing the Word of God. And before I get started, I want to make one announcement just because I'm probably going to run out of time at the end and forget. But I do want to let you know that Bethel Holiness Church is in revival starting today with Brother Silas Carver and family. So if you're in the listening area in Jacksonville, we're on the west side, 5032 Woodcrest Road. You are invited and come be our special guest, 7 p.m. nightly. Brother Carver is a wonderful preacher, wonderful man of God. His family's anointed singers. And so they'll be with us every night, Monday through Friday, starting tonight. So we'll actually starting this morning at 11 if you don't have a home church, and then every night, 7 o'clock. So come be with us, Bethel Holiness Church, 5032 Woodcrest Road. We will be glad to see you, and come find me, all right? All right, so I want to talk this morning for just a little bit. I was kind of tossing around. You know, I've had a couple of weeks to prepare, and kind of tossing around what the Lord would have me to share today. And so this is what the Lord kind of laid on my heart. And I've touched on some of this before, so you just bear with me. But I do want to welcome some listeners this morning. We've got some folks out at Florida State Prison that listen to us. I want to welcome those guys today. We've also got some listeners from Baker Correctional Institution. Saw you guys last night. Thank you for listening, for being with us. And we sure love and appreciate you, family, friends, and acquaintances watching live and listening. Thank you so much for being with us today. And so let's get into the Word of God this morning. I'm going to be reading from the book of Revelation, a couple of different places here, but starting in Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. I'm going to begin in verse number 14. Revelation 3:14, if you want to read with me. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold and tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, we're talking this morning, obviously, about serving God, obviously about the Christian walk, but there's something here in Revelation that strikes me. It brings something to my mind here, where Jesus said in verse number 21, the Spirit of God said, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. This morning, we're going to be talking about being devoted to God and overcoming. Overcoming and being devoted to God. Now, there is no one without the other. We have to be devoted to God to overcome. And if we're going to overcome, we must be devoted. I want to talk this morning on a few different things here, but not to get ahead of myself. Let me first read a scripture here out of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. Listen how. With all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Now, we know that whenever we approach salvation and serving the Lord, there is an aspect of our heart involved. The Bible talks a lot of times about our heart and doing everything heartily as to the Lord and doing everything with all of our might, all of our strength. Serving God has to be a complete commitment. You understand that? Serving God has to be a total commitment of the believer to what he believes in. Otherwise, you know, we're advertising a product that we don't believe in. I've said that before. You know, you don't want to buy a car from a car salesman. He's selling, you know, Kias and he's driving a Lexus, or he's selling Mercedes, but he's driving a BMW. You want someone that believes in what they're talking about. The child of God must have confidence in him who they believe in. They must be devoted to the very God that they claim they believe. Otherwise, we're not going to be effective. The world's watching. The world's watching us to see if we are what we say we are. There's nothing worse to me than someone who's not saved, knowing someone who claims salvation and says to me, you know, I know that there's nothing to their religion. I know there's nothing to their salvation because I see their life. I see what they testify about, and I don't see the fruits of that in their life. We must serve God in totality, in full commitment to him. The Bible says in Revelation we just read, but because you're lukewarm, he said, I want you to be hot or cold, not one or the other, but not lukewarm. You can't have the best of both worlds in this. You have to be on fire for God. We must serve God in complete devotion to him. Let me read this quote by William Law. This and this alone is Christianity, a universal holiness in every part of life, a heavenly wisdom in all our actions, not conforming to the spirit and temper of the world, but turning all worldly enjoyments into a means of piety and devotion to God. Now you say, well, that's extreme. Well, I want to tell you this morning that serving God is extreme. You understand that. Serving God means turning our back to sin, turning our back to self, turning our back on the desires of this life and our sin nature, that Adam nature we were delivered from, and serving God in his fullness, serving God in totality, forsaking all others as we take the marriage vow to our spouse. We say that, forsaking all others. When we come to Christ, we have to do that, forsaking all others. For better or for worse, we're in this thing for the long haul. We must serve Christ in fullness, serve Christ devoted to him 100%. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Now, what does that mean? Now, I have some examples here of a husband and wife devoted to each other. Now, let's talk about marriage here for a minute. I don't want to get in trouble because there's some folks out there that were married or are still married and things aren't going well, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I must give this example. Now, husband and wife, it would be a reckless marriage, a reckless decision to enter into matrimony if both of those parties were not committed one to the other. That's pretty logical, isn't it? If you're going to be married, you ought to be committed one to the other. Whenever I married my wife, I committed myself to her. I told her that I don't want any other wives. I don't want to date anybody else. I want you for life. This is it. We're forever bound together. According to God's word, we're married for life. And I love that. And I know that things happen to folks and everything, and God knows situations, and that's not up for me to say. But when I married my wife, I married her for life. I made a commitment, said, until death do us part, this is the bond that I want to have with you. It would do no good for us to enter into that type of a vow, to enter into that type of a promise when not wholeheartedly, with just half of our heart involved in it. If I'd have had four other girlfriends in a couple other states, and there I was in a church exchanging vows with my wife, then you could have said I was not fully committed to her. It would have made no sense. But yet folks enter in into this Christian walk and they half-heartedly give their life to God and they half-heartedly serve God and they want to hold things back from God and not allow him to be Lord of their life. And Jesus will not accept anything less than total commitment to him. Jesus will not accept anything less than someone that is completely consumed with doing his will and living for him and dying for him and serving him. Jesus wants someone that is fully committed to him at all times, in all places, in all things. It is a radical walk of life. It is a complete separation from the world, a complete separation from sin, a complete separation from self. It is a walk of life and devotion to God, and nothing else is acceptable in his sight. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he's done for you. All the things that Jesus has done, where he's brought us from, how he's blessed us, what he gave for us, his life, his very being, he sacrificed for you and I so that we would not have to go to hell and be lost. In return, we love him not for what he can do for us, because there are benefits to serving God, not for what Jesus can do for me, not for what I can get or benefit from him, but because he loved me first, because he died for me, because he gave everything for me. I love him and I want to serve him. I want to give him everything, not because I can gain something from him, but because he gave everything for me. He laid down his life for me. He was fully committed to me before I ever knew anything about him. Oh, the majesty and the glory of Christ and him crucified before the foundations of the world. He chose to give his life for you and me, even though I would forsake him, even though I would not be wholehearted, even though I would not take it seriously, even though I would fall. He still gave his all for me because he loves me so completely. He loves me so strong. He loves me in such a purity that he was willing to give all for me. And in return, we must be willing to give all for Christ, not for vainglory, not to be exalted, not that we would receive anything in return, but that Christ would be edified, that Christ would be exalted, that the kingdom of God would be advanced, that the will of God would be done in earthen vessels. The Lord, the prayer that we pray all the time is, lead us not in temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. It takes all the emphasis off of David, off of self, off of you, off of me, and it puts the emphasis on Christ, where all glory and all honor is deserved, where all praise and all glory is due to Christ and him crucified. I want to read you something here. The definition of the word devotion is love and loyalty or enthusiasm for something or someone. It's love, loyalty, and enthusiasm. Now, again, that example I gave you of marriage. Think about a marriage with no loyalty. You know what that's going to be? That's going to be a short marriage. Think about a marriage with no love. I know folks that have been married a long time. They don't seem like they love each other anymore, but they endure. But it's not a happy marriage. It's not a good union. Listen, think about a marriage with no enthusiasm. I'm not really happy to be married to my spouse anymore. I just wake up and they're still here, so I just go with the flow. Think about what a miserable union that would be. Think about what an awful lifestyle that would be to be joined with someone, to take vows before God and not have love or loyalty or enthusiasm. Yet, people that name the name of Christ, they enter into this walk with God with no love for God, no loyalty to God, no enthusiasm for God. They're not devoted. They have no enthusiasm. You ask somebody, are you saved? Yes, sure, I'm saved. Where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church anywhere. Well, what do you do for God? Do you love the Lord? Yes, sure, whatever. They have no enthusiasm for God. When Jesus comes into the heart of a believer, he puts the fire of God inside you. He puts a love inside you, not just for your fellow man, but a love for him. I love him this morning because he first loved me. I love him because he died for me. I'm enthusiastic about him because he changed my life. And if he can do that for me, then brothers and sisters, he can do that for you. He can do that for the lost world. He can do that for the hungry. He can do that for the sick. He can do that for the bound. He can change lives today. We have to serve him with love and loyalty and enthusiasm. We are the body of Christ. The world is watching. The world is taking inventory. They are judging God. They are judging Christ by the example they see in his church. And that's you and I. My Lord, we've got a responsibility today to be committed to God. He said, I would that you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. We read that a moment ago. People are committed to all kinds of things. People are committed to crazy things. I watch it all the time. I'm not a sports fan. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm sorry if you are. I'm not a sports fan. Don't watch it. Don't listen to it. Don't partake in it. Don't support it. Don't spend a dime of my money on it. But folks are die hard for people running up and down the field in tight pants, hugging all over each other, romping around on the field, and they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars. And some people are making minimum wage, barely getting by, can't feed their family, but they'll buy season tickets to go see that garbage. They are committed to what they want to do. They're committed to what fits their lifestyle, to what entertains them. People go to great lengths to do things. World travelers and all kinds of things. They'll mortgage their homes. They'll sell everything they've got to pursue whatever venture in life they want to go on because they're committed to it. A man is going to do what a man wants to do. That's how we're designed. We are going to follow after this heart. But if this heart is set on Christ, we are going to follow Christ. If this heart is in love with Jesus, we are going to pursue Christ. You can always tell where a man's heart is by what he supports, by what he takes part in. Listen to me. Listen, our hobbies, our interests, our extracurricular activities, they will tell on a believer. They will always bear witness to what is in the heart of man by what we give our money to, by what we support, by what we condone. It will always tell if we're committed to Jesus or not. And I'm telling you, the world's going to be cut out of the heart of a man that follows after Christ. There's not going to be any place in the heart of a believer for the worldly desires and attractions and the lust and the sin and the partying and all the things that take place in the world. None of that's going to exist in the heart of a believer because the blood of Jesus sanctifies and cleanses us from all sin and impurities, and we follow after Christ and him crucified. It's a way of committal. It's not popular anymore, but it's going to absolutely require commitment in order for us to make heaven our home this morning. We must be committed to Christ. We must be. You say, Brother David, it doesn't require all that. He said, I would that you be hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, because you want the best of both worlds, man, the church is ate up with that today. We're just consumed with being lukewarm today. We can't decide what we want. The church wants entertainment. The church wants the world. The church wants the flesh. The church wants healing, though. They want Jesus a little bit. They want to still look religious. They want to still act religious. They want to still be regarded in society as good religious folks. But the truth of the matter is, we're either going to be one or the other. There won't be a mixture. There won't be a compromise there. We're either going to be all in for Christ or we're not going to serve him at all. The Bible says you can only serve one master. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the devil. You're only got room in your heart for one. And God's not going to live in a duplex. He's not going to sublet a section of your heart out so the enemy can occupy. We're going to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. We're either going to be filled with the power of God or we're not going to be filled at all.
That house has got to be occupied by Christ and Christ alone. Let's move on here. Listen, folks are devoted to everything they want to do. They're devoted to all kinds of things. Listen, I knew, I'm going to get in trouble here. I knew somebody one time that they had a position in a church, yet every time they were supposed to be in church, they were out of town seeing a relative play in a certain sport. Every time they were traveling and going a couple states over, they were never in the house of God, and they were in ministry, folks. They were supposed to be in the pulpit. Listen to me. God's not going to share that residence. He's not going to say, well, it's all right. You take 3 or 4 months off out of the year if you want to, and go be part of the world, and then when you're ready, just come on back. He's not going to put up with that garbage. It's hogwash. It's nonsense. God requires 110% commitment. There is no room for wavering. There is no room for compromising. We're either going to be all in or we're not in at all, folks. It's going to require commitment. Do you realize that Jesus is coming? Do we really recognize that the coming of the Lord is at hand? Any moment now, in the twinkling of an eye, the skies are going to open. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. The trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we, which are alive and remain, are going to be called up together to meet with the Lord in the air. But it's only going to be those that have been sold out to Christ. It's only going to be those that have said, Lord, you are Lord of all. You are Lord over all, above all, and in all, and through all in my life. There's no place, folks, to allow anything else to take place over Christ, to usurp authority in our heart over our relationship with Jesus. It's a commitment that we cannot waver on. There are things that you can compromise on in life. Let me give you an example. When my wife is baking something, I love it when she bakes. I love it when she cooks fries, anything. I love it when she cooks anything. I love it when she makes a sandwich, to be honest with you. Anything she makes, it's good, it's delicious. But when she's following a recipe, sometimes it says you can use this or you can substitute it for that. You've seen that before. Sometimes you can use margarine. Sometimes you can substitute that for butter. Sometimes you can substitute, you know, this type of flour for that type of flour. Sometimes you can use this type of sugar, that type of sugar. But listen to me. We are not serving God like a cake recipe this morning. There is no substitutions. There is no replacements. There is no compromise. There is no sense that something can be changed or altered. This word of God is infallible. It's eternal. It's the roadmap to get us to glory. It's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no compromise. It is Christ and Christ alone. Today, my friend, you may have served a lot of masters. You may have tried to make room in your heart for something other than Christ. But I want to implore you today to serve an eviction notice to the enemy and tell him that he no longer has residence in your life, and invite Jesus back to be Lord of all. Invite Christ back into your life to occupy that habitation, to let him come in and fill this temple with his spirit, so that you can be hot and on fire for God, so that you can burn with passion and enthusiasm and love for Christ. Listen, the limitless loving devotion to God and the gift God makes of himself to you are the highest elevation of which the heart is capable. It is the highest degree of prayer. The souls that have reached this point are truly the heart of the church. Listen to me. There is no greater achievement in the heart of a believer that Christ sits on the throne of their heart, that their desires have been consumed by Christ and his fire, that they have submitted themselves fully to Jesus. Unfortunately, today we see across the church world that that is not a common situation. That's not something that happens very often, because we have the love of money. We have the love of fame, the love of popularity, the love of the things of the world. But listen to me. We're going to have to make a conscious decision today that we're going to serve God. We're going to have to make a decision today that it's going to be holiness, and it's going to be righteousness, and it's going to be godliness, because God will accept nothing less. God won't accept a substitute. God won't accept a replacement. God won't accept a false article. It's got to be genuine today. It's got to be the original. Listen, nothing else works for me. There's a lot of other churches preaching a lot of other doctrine, but I don't feel the Holy Ghost in those services. I don't see the anointing on the lives of those preachers. I don't feel the evidence and the power and the witness of the Holy Ghost. We got to have the genuine article today. It's Jesus and only Christ. I can't preach another gospel. I can't preach another Christ. It's got to be Christ and Him crucified. He's the only way. Today, we owe this world a gospel, and the gospel they're going to see is the representation of the church of Jesus Christ, a mirror image of Him reflecting on this world so they can see Christ, so they can be led to Christ this morning. We must reflect Him. We must be the example of Christ. We must be fully committed. It's our duty. It's our calling. God will accept nothing less today. What are you committed to? Let me ask you that. What are you committed to this morning? What has your affection? What has your undying committal today? Where is your trust placed? Is it in things? Is it in money? Is it in friends? Is it in a job, a career, your retirement? Is it in your plans for the future? Let me tell you today, the Lord knows the days of a man. They're numbered. The Lord knows what tomorrow holds for us all. God knows what your life is going to be like 5 years from now, should He tarry His coming. God knows what the future holds, and let me encourage you today, if you've not committed everything to God today, if Jesus is not fully in control of your life today, you need to do a self-evaluation. You need to take inventory of who's living in here. If Jesus is not fully taking up and occupying that residence, you need to serve an eviction notice on the enemy this morning. He said, I would that you be hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I don't want to be rejected by God. I don't want to get all the way to the judgment seat and then hear Him say, depart, you that work iniquity. But Lord, I was on the radio preaching. But Lord, I was in the prison preaching. But Lord, I was in the nursing home preaching. But Lord, I taught Sunday school. But Lord, I played the piano. But Lord, I sang. But Lord, I visited. Lord, I prayed. Lord, I led. Lord, I did this and that. And He'll say, it doesn't matter, because you worked iniquity, because Christ was not seated on the throne of your heart, because you were not totally submitted to God. What an awful day. Friend, today you have an opportunity to make Christ Lord of all. Let's go back to our first love today. Let's tell Jesus how much we love Him. I'm out of time. God bless you today. Listen, I am so excited about this week of revival. Come and be with us and let God encourage you today, 7 p.m. nightly. God bless you. I'm looking forward to being back with you again. I hope you have a wonderful day in Christ. Get up and go to church somewhere and have a good day. God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.